Well, good morning, church. As you can see, it's a little different here this morning, but I am on location in Yale Town, and I just thought it'd be a little bit different, something that just before we open up next week, I thought I'd change it up just a little bit before we're back together again in a limited fashion. Today, I want to talk to you about joy. Joy is an interesting topic. When we talk about it in general terms, it becomes even more interesting when we bring a biblical perspective into it, especially when we are in the midst of trials, or in other words, when we are going through difficult times. I would encourage, and I would like to encourage everyone today, that you can have joy in the midst of difficulty and trouble, but only if you have a firm foundation of faith in God. And when trouble arises in your life, and it will, changing your perspective or your focus can help you grow and mature with your faith in God. Let's give a little intro first to the book of James, though. The book of James is a letter written to a group of believing Jewish Christians with the intent to teach on the importance of true faith in the midst of trials. Even though James has much to say about the doctrine of Christian faith, the majority of the letter is practical teaching of the how-tos of a faith-based lifestyle. Much of the letter involves James sorting through common sense issues in the community by teaching on the repercussions and the consequences of mishandling those issues. So let's read chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, James begins his letter with a command for his brothers and sisters. Consider it pure joy in verse 2. Joy is typically easier to do when life is steady, without pressure or difficulty. James, however, says that we should be joyful even when we fall into trials or difficulties. We all could say that a joyful attitude doesn't necessarily seem synonymous with trials, but James reminds us that the connection between the two is purposeful. The modern definition of joy is the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, like a keen pleasure or elation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of going through trials, I don't think of elation. So, what is biblical joy? What is this joy we can have through trials as well as through the good times? I think modern Christians have tried to explain what biblical joy is, but because of the personal power movement, the definition has morphed into a self-focused, all about me and my joy or happiness emotion. Rick Warren says that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. And when we say everything is going to be all right, we don't mean that it will always go our own way. It means that it will go God's way. When we put our faith in foundational faith, when we put that and trust in Him, we know He has everything under control. Now, as Christians, we should remember that trials are going to happen in our lives. This is not a hit or miss possibility. It is going to happen. So don't ask why. It's not a question of why, it's a question of when. And James specifically uses when and not if, because he knows struggles are going to happen in this life and there's no way to avoid it. Still, even though troubles will come, it's important for us to have a strong relationship with God so that when we do go through struggles, we have the resiliency to come out of the other side. You will notice that James says that the testing of your faith creates perseverance, meaning as you walk through difficult struggles in life and rely on God, you gain the experience of God being close to you and walking through to the other side. That experience will then be carried to the next trial and the next situation. Your experience will also help others as you share with them the struggles that God has brought you through, and that will be encouraging for them. Whether it's being joyful in the midst of physical pain or the loss of a job or relationship issues, these things can be handled with a different perspective. Considering that this letter was written to Christians, we should remember that we cannot prevent falling into trials or struggles in life strictly based on our love for God. The testing of your faith in verse 3 is the basis for why we are to count these things as joy instead of despair. Testing of our faith produces the ability to be immovable in the presence of opposition, and it gives us the ability to withstand hardship or stressful events. In other words, through trials and difficult times in life, we develop endurance. And endurance is an active word. It's not a passive end goal. James is showing us that God is desiring to strengthen us for our troublesome journey because he knows that in this world, you will have trouble. And he wants to strengthen us by producing something in us that will help us stand fast under pressure. James also brings up the importance of prayer in verse 6, indicating that God indeed responds favorably to those who make requests to him, but the emphasis is on faith. There's a necessary attitude on our part that James discusses, asking in faith with no doubting. James compares this to this doubter to the waves of the sea that are blown and tossed by the wind. And the term double-minded that he uses in verse 8 is a Greek word meaning two souls. James says that the doubter is like a person with two souls who's unstable in all his ways, being pulled two different directions. Verses 6 to 8 show what it looks like to have constant conflict with oneself. However, God gives wisdom to those who ask in faith. So we need to be wholeheartedly dedicated to the Lord and nothing else. We can be pulled in two different directions with one foot. We can't be pulled in two different directions with one foot set in the world and the other set on the Lord. There's always going to be stress and tension between the two. I really love being out in the ocean, all the wildlife doing its thing, the sunsets, the smell of the chuck. The ocean is so powerful, and I've seen firsthand how powerful it can be, and it must be respected. It is amazing. And as you travel around the West Coast, you will see buoys floating in the ocean with what sometimes can seem in random places. All these buoys have meaning and they're there for a reason. And some are warnings, some are to set boundaries, and some are for tying your boat off. And they're also called a mooring buoy. Now these mooring buoys are chained, as well as the other buoys, to a very large concrete block that is dropped onto the ocean floor. The concrete block is attached by a chain to the buoy that allows it to remain steady when the wind and the current move in all types of weather. The boat is then tied off to the buoy. If the buoy isn't anchored properly, it will be tossed by the wind and the waves, and your boat will move and more than likely end up on the rocks or on the shore. In a similar way, James explains that when we aren't anchored in our foundation of faith in the Lord, we can be tossed by the waves of life and find ourselves crashed on the rocks wondering what happened. If we are to understand what James is talking about, and if we are to understand biblical joy, we must dismiss today's modern perceptions of what joy and happiness are, because our modern definition of joy has a focus on immediate gratification and it only focuses on self. Joy in our struggles and trials, when it's talked about in the Bible, is talking about a joy that is found primarily and fundamentally beyond ourselves. It's not about how I feel. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God wants. It's found in a sensitivity to and a humility before God that is in service to others. When we place God first and see people and situations through his eyes, we then find out what true joy really is. If we continue to view our joy from a modern self-focused view, we will then always miss the mark. Now, joy, when understood properly, is something that can be taken away by any, it can't be taken away by anyone or anything or any circumstance, because joy comes from God and is one of the many attributes of the Spirit of God, Galatians 5:22. As we focus on Jesus and our relationship with Him, we will experience the fullness of that joy that He has promised. But if you have perseverance and commitment, that's when it will stick. I want to encourage you this morning to find that God-given joy. It's not a joy that is erratic. It's not a joy that doesn't make any sense. It is a joy that is the foundation of having faith in God, what His plans are, what He does. It doesn't mean those things happening around you aren't valid. It doesn't mean that what you're going through isn't real. What it means is that He is going to walk you through that. And if you believe that His plan is the right plan, then you will have that joy inside that will get you through no matter what it is. And as we go through those trials and we gain that experience in life, we will understand what it means to go through this life with joy, even though we're in trials. And we can give that gift to others, that joy to others, by showing them that even though we're going through something difficult, that we can still have faith in God, that He knows what's best for us and the bigger picture. And so this morning, I challenge you, get your foundation. What do you do to get that foundation? Well, it's very simple. You read the Word of God. You want to know what He's saying? Look to the Word of God. You want to talk to Him? Pray to Him. Very simple, two very simple things. Now, you say, well, I've been a Christian a long time. This seems very simple. Well, it is that simple. The simplicity of getting to know God is right here. The problem with that is that life is difficult and there's a lot of noise out there. And so I want to help you this morning to turn down all the noise that's out there, turn down all the struggles, all the things that are going on in your life, and ask God to show you what true joy is. Ask Him to show you and direct you and give you that guidance that you need. And it's not an overnight experience. It's going to have to be something that goes on through the trials. But when you get out the other side, you will have that experience that shows God walked with you. So I want to encourage you today, if you're in the middle of a trial, stick to Him, stick to His Word, stick to the foundation, which is Scripture. Stick to the Word of God. Pray, look to Him, and then ask others in your community of faith to come and to encourage you and pray for you and lift you up as you're going through that trial. If you just come out of one, share that. Share that with others so they know that while they're in it, there's actually hope. And so I want to encourage you to do that. I know it's been difficult with this pandemic, with COVID-19. There's been a lot of stuff going on. Hold on. Stick through. Perseverance. Gain endurance. You're going to make it through. I believe in you. God believes in you. And you know what? I totally trust in Him that it's going to work itself out, whatever that looks like. And that's where we have to put our faith in the Creator of the universe, who knows all things and sees all things. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, thank you for this day. And I just pray that as we go through trials, as we go through temptations, I know there are those out there that are struggling. I just pray that you will help them to continue to read your word, to get into your word, to hear what you're saying, to pray, to ask for guidance, and have others lift them up and bring others around them to encourage them as they go through these trials. We also thank you for the struggles that we've gone through and come out the other side. We thank you so much for that you are a faithful God and that you love us so much that you want to walk us through these things and show us how much you care. And so as we move forward in our faith in you, help us to continue to have perseverance, even though things around us may seem like we don't know what's happening, maybe chaos. And so help us to have our strength and faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? Thank you for joining me this morning. And you know what? We're going to meet next week in person. Registration will start tomorrow. You'll get all the information in an email, but I'm excited. If you don't feel comfortable coming to church because you're still concerned about this, then you know what? we have an option for you. We're going to be online, same as always, and we'll make sure you get that information. So please make sure you join us online as well. If you are coming, there will be some procedures that we're going to ask you to agree to. Nothing that you haven't already experienced already if you've been out and about, but we just want to make sure it's the safest environment for you possible so that we can join together and worship. So I'm excited about next week. I'm excited about what's happening, and so I can't wait to see you in person as well as see you online, and we will talk to you this week. God bless you.